Welcome back to Double Fries No Slaw Sunday, April 13th. Palm Sunday, also Master Sunday for those who celebrate either one of those. TJ Pittenger and Richie Barnes here. Appreciate Guthrie's. We'll give some love to BetUS and Garden Gold and everybody else here in a minute. But Richie, how's your Sunday so far? I bet it's about to get cranked up. That's my guess.
Yes. No, it's been great. Went to, you know, church for Palm Sunday. Great message setting up the story of Passover and what's coming next week. So shout out to anyone who observes that. But then, you know, right when we hop off, we'll be on the couch for the next probably 5 to 7 hours watching Rory and Bryson go at it. The folks at Augusta could not have wished for a better pairing for their final pairing on Sunday, where the face of the PGA and one of the main faces of the Live Tour going at it in a major. Bryson made a 48-foot putt on 18 yesterday to get within two. It's going to be electric. You know, Rory melted down in 2011 when he had a nice lead on Sunday in the Masters. I know you guys are not here to hear me talk about the Masters, but I am excited and I will be watching it all day.
Yeah, no, I don't tune into nearly as much golf as you do, but certainly when the majors come around, it's always fun to tune in, and I will have that on along with baseball's on right now, up at Virginia Tech looking for the sweep, and softball comes on it at 3, looking for a sweep as well out at Cal. So without further ado, let's just jump into things. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by our friends over at Guthrie's of Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe, 2870 Appalachian Parkway. If you are in or around anywhere in Tallahassee, make sure that you are stopping by Guthrie's. We always appreciate them for their support. And just quickly, while we're on that subject, if you're going to take a look at the Masters today, it's your last chance to go put a little bit of money on it. So do that with our friends over at BetUS. Make sure you're checking out BetUS TV for all of their coverage of the Masters and any other sporting events that are taking place. NBA playoffs starting soon, Richie. NHL playoffs starting soon. The draft upcoming. A bunch of, you know, I know it's football off season technically, but a lot of other stuff going on right now for sure. All right. Something that does open up this week and does kind of get going this week is the transfer portal. Richie, we're going to go position by position and talk about how likely it is or what you think Florida State's needs might be position by position here in the portal when it opens up. I think on the 16th, is when it opens up, which would be what, Wednesday, if my math is any good. Every year, the spring portal, Richie, I feel like they hype the heck out of it. And it's just like, oh, all these guys are going to jump in. It's going to be so crazy in the spring. And then I feel like the spring, but they're not tricking me this year. Now, maybe this year it will be crazy and there will, but they're not tricking me. Every year they talk about how crazy it's going to be, whether it's a guy that's national or it's people at ESPN or just whomever. The portal is just going to be insane. It's never really that crazy. I don't know if it's going to be crazy or not, but what, do you have quick thoughts on that? And then we'll go position by position on what Florida State may do, may not do.
Yeah, and you know, I don't really follow a bunch of other teams like you do when it comes to the portal. It's hard to think of how many great players people have gotten that out of the portal in the spring. Because typically, if a player hops in the portal in the spring, it's most likely because they found out that they did not win a starting job or they don't feel good about winning a starting job heading into next season. Obviously, we got Keon Coleman. I think he was, you know, in May or something when he hopped on. Later. You know, that was a very rare – you don't get, essentially a first-round draft pick. He was the first pick of the second round out of the spring portal typically. But it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, obviously there was a huge portal entry that we're going to talk about towards the end of the show. But, I'm not going to, you know, put all my eggs in this basket with Easter coming up. No pun intended there, right? But I'm not expecting a ton of, you know, first and second round talent to hop in the portal this spring.
Yeah, it just never is as exciting. Now, I'll say that, and like Jeremiah Smith or somebody crazy will jump in just because I've said that. But yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, we got Keon. That was kind of crazy. A really, obviously a massive pickup that, you know, anybody would have taken him. But I just think it's so hard. You know, you're taking guys that you know, and this idea of like tampering and everything else that happens and canceling spring games because people are scared to tamper. I saw, you know, Florida didn't televise their spring game because they were afraid of tampering. And then after the game, Napier said that like 98% of his roster is already signed. So I'm like, well, then why were you worried about tampering? You know, if that was the case, like just air the dang spring game so we can watch football.
What does being signed even mean?
I guess signed with an NIL collective. Not that they can't get out of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But, they can walk away from that.
But, you know, again, why I don't really worry about. But, yeah, again, you're right. Like, the guys that are jumping the portal, a lot of times because they've gotten passed up. It's because other guys have jumped ahead of them. It's, you know, there are usually situations that lead to it. Not to say that starters can't jump in the portal. Not to say that tampering is not a real thing. You're usually just not getting an insane crop of talent in the spring. Maybe that will be different this year. All right, position by position, we're going to talk about a departure here in just a minute, so we won't go super deep into this, but would you have any expectation of Florida State going after a quarterback in the spring portal?
If the right one was available, you know, I think you do need another quarterback on this roster, but, you know, it wouldn't, I would not expect a starting caliber quarterback be brought in to this cycle.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. It would surprise me if Florida State went after a quarterback, if Florida State picked up a quarterback. If they do, I think it's just for depth purposes. If, you know, we're going to talk about Nico in a little bit, but like, say Nico really wanted to be in Tallahassee. First of all, I think it would be foolish of Florida State to pay the price tag of a Nico Iamaliava. But even if that, like, without having a spring, does he fit what got, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know that that would be. So, like, I guess it would, again, it would depend on who is entering. How much sense does it make? I don't have a lot of hope as Florida State just took a double. What in the world are we doing here? I thought that was out. I don't know that a quarterback would make a lot of sense. It would surprise me if Florida State took a quarterback in the portal. If they do, maybe for depth purposes, you know, otherwise, you know, I'd be pretty surprised. Running back is a really stacked room. Let's talk about them. I'll do running back. We can flip-flop on this. You know, you can go and then I'll go. Running back is a really deep room. I think they like Roydell. I think they are excited about Cromaw coming in. I don't think they would take a running back unless it was kind of a workhorse that you thought was going to potentially, you know, kind of vie to be your number one. I don't know that they need another RB3 on this roster. I think they have about seven of them, right? And so running back, I would be pretty hesitant to think that they would take. I don't know if you have different thoughts there.
No, I agree. Like I said, and we just talked about it, you're not going to get some all-world or, you know, all-American running back. They're not going to hop into the portal after the spring. It just won't happen, and there's no need to. Like you said, it's a loaded room. I think those scholarships are better used elsewhere.
Yeah, and NIL dollars, right? Like you have a limited budget to work with. You know, and if you get somebody really cheap and it's more of a growth, a development thing, again, I don't think you're pulling in a running back. A wide receiver, though, this was an interesting one. What are your thoughts on wide receiver?
Yeah, I think you probably should take some in because you have a lot of potential on the roster. Whether it's Deuce Robinson, you know, who was a December transfer. And then, you know, Hakeem, does he take that next step? You think about McCoy, you think about Boggs. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think even if it's just a wide receiver two at another school or wide receiver one at a small school, I'm fine with taking one.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you take – again, wide receiver's a room that's got a ton of guys in it too. I think you might see some attrition at the wide receiver position. But if you can go get, you know, like if you can go get a true number two, right? And I know that they, you know, do squirrel kind of probably your 1-2 right now, but it, you know, there is no rule against having two like number two quarterback or number two wide receivers. And there's no rule against upgrading that room. I don't think you grab somebody if they're like a 3 or 4, because I think you have enough of that in there. But if you can find, obviously you can find some kind of a Keon or a real one, you certainly do that. But if you can find somebody that really fits in well and fits what you want to do, I'm not opposed to a wide receiver. I think that that's something you could look for. Tight end, I'll take it. I don't think you go after a tight end. I mean, unless you just, unless there was a tight end out there that, again, was just kind of the Max Clair guy that went from Purdue to Ohio State, who's maybe one of the best tight ends in the country or something of that talent level. Maybe you look at it if they have a Tallahassee tie or a Malzahn tie or something like that. I don't suspect that one of those jumps in the portal. Again, we talked about how spring is limited. I don't think you go after a tight end. I'd be pretty surprised if they do.
Yeah, I don't think so. You don't need to load up the tight end room. I mean, you got Landon Thomas, you got Biscuit. I think that's more than enough. Landon Thomas, he's going to finally be healthy, hopefully heading into fall camp. He should be mostly healthy now, but definitely by fall camp, if you can keep him healthy, I think he could be a true tight end one that, a top 10 tight end in the country potential. And then, Biscuit, they're two completely different body sizes. I think you're perfectly fine there. There's no need to waste scholarships on tight ends.
Yeah, they also really like Chase Lofton. Does Amari play? I think he's going to be mainly DN, but you could always utilize him if really needed. I don't think they need to do anything with tight end. Oh, and they brought in Pittman from UCF, who they really like him too. I think that room's pretty loaded. In fact, this is maybe a good thing, maybe not a good thing. I think it might be the best room on Florida State's roster. And that's probably not good for a running offense for your best room to be your tight ends. But I think that's one of the rooms that's more talented that Florida State has right now. Certainly on offense, it'd be the top room. Now, again, it's the least important room on offense. So is that a good thing, bad thing? I don't know. But it would mean to me that they don't need to take a tight end. Offensive line, I'll just split this up two ways, interior and exterior. So, like, your guards and centers and then tackles. I don't know if you have thoughts here on the offensive line.
I think they like what they have, right now. You're not going to – a premier offensive lineman is not going to hit the portal. It just will not happen. That is the toughest position to find. If you're looking at exterior on the tackle position, you do have a lot of older guys. So – I'm okay taking a guy that has multiple years left. I don't think either the exterior or interior, I don't think you take anybody who only has 1 year left unless you think certainly that they will be a starter for you. There's just no point. Again, scholarships come at a premium. And if you're taking an offensive lineman, it needs to be someone that has multiple years left or someone that, Gus and Mike just love and think he has a chance to be a difference maker.
Yeah, I feel pretty good. I think if you can find a tackle, even if it is for depth, just some of your guys are banged up right now. A lot of times a tackle can slide inside if you need him anyway. If he's good enough to play tackle, even if he's kind of a tackle two, right? Like a second string guy, like it's hard to make it through a season with five guys healthy. And you obviously have less tackles on the roster that you're confident in. I would say tackle would be a position that I would go after, even if they're not, you're right. The chances of you finding an Amarius Mims and then actually being able to land him are fairly slight, right? Fairly small. But if you can find a tackle, even if it is for depth, I think that is a position that you attack. I think you need more depth there. You need bodies. That would be a position that I'd be comfortable tampering with, whether it's for this year or going forward. And so hopefully that is a position that they attack. Interior, I feel pretty good. I don't think Florida State's offensive line is going to be, top five in the ACC or anything like that. It's got a chance to be certainly top half of the ACC. But I do think that tackle is one that you can never have enough of, right? To get, thin out some of the wide receiver and running back room and go get me a guy that can block on the edge. And I'm in a much better mood. Now, defensive side of the ball, defensive end, thoughts there?
Yeah, I think if you can find one, you take him because you don't have anyone really proven at defensive end. I mean, you have some potential, it's depressing looking at the defensive end roster that I'm looking at right now. I think you take one if you can find one, even if you're not even that positive, if you would just have a hunch or if you see potential in him, I think you should take a defensive end.
I think so too. Even if it's for depth, you've got Amari, they like Jays Williams. I think you're going to rotate more playing a 3-3-5. You're going to have more guys coming in and out. I think defensive end would be one that you go after. And I feel the same way about defensive tackle. I don't think you can have enough defensive linemen, even if they're depth or even if they're for the future or, kind of whatever your situation is there. I think that Yeah, I think that you need more bodies there. I think they like what they have at defensive tackle. I don't really expect like a ton of attrition on the defensive line. Certainly not from like your first string, second string. But if you can upgrade that room and continue to get it better, the recruiting there just frankly has not been good enough. Now, I know they got picked up a couple of defensive ends this year late in the cycle that will help. But I think if you can upgrade that room, you certainly go after it. How about this? I don't know that I would have told you this before the a year ago or 2 years ago or anything. Linebacker might be the room that I'm least concerned about. maybe not for like their ceiling, but I think you have enough at linebacker right now with Herring and Cryer and a lot of the guys you have back. I think that linebacker is a room that I'm really not that concerned about and a room that I don't think they'll go after super hard in the portal. Now, if they go after a guy for depth for a few years from now, or they find a guy that they think can in his second year, you know, 2 years from now, be really good, then maybe if there's an elite guy that jumps in that you kind of have a tie with, or that you were really close with in his recruitment, certainly that would, you know, yes, I will take an elite linebacker, but I don't think linebacker would be a position that I would go after super heavy.
Yeah. And again, I think your best bet probably, especially in the spring, is finding a player, whether it be any position, but especially linebacker. Like you said, we're solid there up front or at the starts. But, you know, just look at what Luke Laux has done with the basketball program. He's finding, you know, all conference players from smaller schools. If you can find a guy like that and he does have the size to play in the ACC, then that's a guy you definitely want to go get. Especially, you know, defensively, it's, again, you only have so many scholarships, but you can never have enough bodies. And I think, you know, they can be picky there. You know, there's some positions where they cannot be too picky, where they just need a body, but this is not one of those positions.
Yeah, with the scholarship limits up to like 105, I think there will be enough kind of positive attrition that I think they'll be fine if they need to take more. Cornerback, I'll start here. I think cornerback would be one that I would go after. I think there's a lot of young talent there, but if you can go out and find a really good corner, that would be one that I would say you want to continue to add to that room. I mean, I think it's probably a really good sign that Arnaud has kind of balled out and they've really liked what they've gotten from him. As a true freshman, that's great because it means you hit on that eval really well. Looking at the rest of that room, does it mean that other guys that are year two and year three in the system probably aren't where you thought they would be or thought they could be? Maybe. And so if that's the case, I think that it would probably make sense to add some depth to that room. And if you can go out and, I mean, with the caveat on all of these positions, if you can find an elite guy, yes, you take them. But at cornerback specifically, I think that'd be a position that I would target if I was FSU.
Yeah, I'm going to use the same answer that I used for a few positions. It's one you want to take if you can get a multiple year guy, or if you can find a guy like Cypress who, you know, you got in from Virginia, who was quality and was just looking for a bigger stage. I think it makes things a lot tougher coming off a 2-win season. But with all the changes at the coaching staff, you know, you can sell, hey, you're going to get a chance to play Alabama week one. And, you know, everyone will be watching that game. And you do have some selling points, but I think it's going to be hard to convince a player if Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and all of those schools are in on them. You're going to have to find that sweet spot, you know, so recruiting purposes. You know, a player ranks around like 150, 200 because the top 100 kids aren't coming right now.
Yeah, so. No, I think it's tough to – it's really tough to imagine them pulling in some, you know, insanely elite talent, but I do think quarterback would be a good one. Or a cornerback would be one if you could add to that room. And then safety, I actually kind of like where they're at safety too. I'm not feeling like that's a major need on the team, but again – I'll just kind of, again, it's kind of the same idea of the linebacker. If you can add some depth, if you can pull somebody that is really elite that jumps from the portal, sure. But safety is not one of my bigger concerns at this moment.
Yeah, it's probably my least concerning room on the entire roster at this point, honestly. So again, like you said, if you can get somebody or, you know, a young guy with a lot of potential or, you know, even if it's a guy that with 1 year eligibility, but you think he could push for a starting job in fall camp, then you take him, but it's definitely not a position that they are going to prioritize.
All right. So what are your thoughts? Let us know down in the comments. We did this as part of our live show. And obviously if you're watching live right now, you know that, but let us know your thoughts down in the comments, what they should, what they shouldn't go after. I saw a comment, no more 1 year rentals. Now I agree with that. Like if you can get a couple of years out of somebody, that's certainly the ideal, but you know, if you have a 1 year Keon Coleman type of player that you can pick up at any position, I don't know that you're going to complain about that. Don't know that you're going to complain about that too much. I do think, you know, when you look at the schedule, you look at this roster, I mean, you need some difference makers. I think they've raised the talent enough to where they'll be in most games. We kind of know what the four tough games are, but if you can find some difference makers that can really help you in the big games, certainly not going to complain about that. Richie, let's talk about, well, I'll give a little love to Garnet and Gold. If you are shopping, if you're watching any spring sports, if you're in on getting some gear, make sure that you are shopping at Garnet and Gold, N-O-S-L-A-W, no slaw. We'll get you 15% off over at Garnet and Gold. We appreciate them for their support. Richie, Florida State lost a quarterback to the portal, which, okay, I don't think this is a big deal, but I don't know why. You know, people like to freak out about everything. Trevor Jackson, probably your fourth string quarterback, certainly behind Brock and Thomas, maybe even got passed up by Sperry a little bit. A kid that was a preferred walk-on, no longer on the roster, jumps into the portal. I don't think this is a big deal, but we can talk about quarterbacks for a few minutes. Do you have a take here?
Yeah, I don't think it's a big loss. I think he is a very, very talented athlete. Not a good quarterback right now. Not to say he can't evolve into a good quarterback, but I think we'll know everything we need to know when we find out where he lands, because I doubt it's at a Power 5 school. And if it is, it'll be, you know, like a Rutgers or something. You know, you have enough depth. It was always going to be, you know, Castellanos and Brock Glenn, 1 and 2 in the spring and in fall camp. And if he just got impatient and didn't want to wait his turn, that's perfectly fine. And maybe Mike told him, that he said, listen, I just don't see it happening here, but I can give you put in a good word for you to go somewhere else. So again, a very talented athlete, but just not ready to be a quarterback at a Power 5 school right now.
Yeah, I think there was so much excitement because people see like one practice clip, or they see a fake practice clip of a guy running around like John, yeah, who was it, John Franklin back there when yeah. James was playing. They see a guy running around on a practice clip or a fake practice clip, and they get all excited about the athleticism, and they don't see, you know, the rest of what's happening. And quarterback play was obviously so bad last year that people, you know, kind of just hitch their horse to like, oh, we'll just put a guy back there and let him run around a ton. And, you know, that'll be better than what we've got. And, you know, to be honest with you, yeah, it probably wouldn't have been any worse than what we had with quarterback play last year, with how bad the offensive line was, how bad the wide receivers were, how bad the running backs were. I don't know that it would have been that much better, but yeah, I mean, maybe it's slightly better. Yeah, I don't think, and I hope Trevor Jackson, I mean, you know, came in with, you know, offers to go elsewhere, scholarship offers, and came in to be a PWO here. Was able to be developed at Florida State a little bit. I don't know how much in a year, but I mean, I wish him nothing but the best. I don't think this is a loss for Florida State at all. I think it's silly the fact that people think it is. All right, let's talk about Kevin Sperry though a little bit. A guy that I've kind of been told has already kind of passed up Jackson, and maybe that doesn't surprise you too much with the amount of talent that Sperry, you know, hopefully has. Kevin Sperry kind of pushing a little bit, and is, you know, from what I've heard, Glenn and Castellanos have had up and down days. Sperry's for large parts of this spring been the best quarterback in Florida State's room there. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, Richie? Let's play optimist pessimist here for a minute. Oh, you're muted. You might've come unplugged, but you may just have to hit that button.
No, sorry. I've been having the sniffles over here. So try to mute myself. But yeah, I don't know. that's a tough question to answer. Because you would hope Thomas would be the best looking quarterback, but granted, to be fair, they're all in a brand new system for the most part. I mean, I know Norvell and Malzahn run similar systems, so it's almost like they're all on the same, you know, starting from the same place. So I think it's a problem if he's looked the best for most of camp so far. It makes me worry a little bit, but at the same time, knowing that Malzahn's going to run the ball 60%+ of the time. And he's not really looking to, you know, to throw the ball around a ton. It just shows you need to recruit a quarterback who's ready to go, or you won't find one in the portal in the spring, most likely, but maybe find one in the portal come December.
Yeah. I think it's both. I think it's how you look at it. I think it's probably good that Sperry's ahead of where you maybe expected him to be. You know, when you had Tramell Jones committed for the entire year. And then he you know, jumped ship in, I think late, you know, mid to late November. When that happens, you're kind of thinking, okay, well, what's plan B at quarterback at this point? And you're frustrated with how things are going in the season, and you're super negative about Florida State holding on to Tramiel, even though you kind of knew that the way that was trending. Richie, I lost your camera and your mic there now. But I think there was some frustration with just how that went down. And then Florida State took a quarterback that you hadn't heard of for most of the cycle. And so there was frustration in it. But if he ends up being a lot better, I mean, yeah, maybe if he's really stepped up, maybe he's your quarterback next year, right? Like if he really takes a jump and is developed well, maybe you're looking at something. It is a little bit concerning that he's looking better as a true freshman than a guy who's been in college for, well, this is Brock's fourth year now, or third year. And Thomas's, you know, millionth year, right? Like he's been in forever. So I think I guess it's good and bad. I found this interesting. Did you see Castellanos on with, was it Macklin and, I don't know, one of those ACC shows that, never mind, one of those ACC network shows said that Auburn was the team that got him into the portal and that's kind of where he had his, I don't know, where he was leaning towards when he jumped in the portal. I mean, the direct quote said that Auburn got him into the portal and then, ended up turning on that and said like, but when Gus called me, like I couldn't say no to that. Like couldn't say no to the chance to go play at Florida State. Now, I don't know what all went into that. I don't know what all went into his decision. Ultimately, I don't know real honestly, like what kind of NIL package he has right now or any, I've not asked, but, I think that's interesting because when it was framed, when he first jumped in the portal, I think it was kind of just Florida State only was kind of the thought that we had or where he would end up. And for him to end up at Florida State with Auburn being kind of the team that he says was, and I will say, shout out to him for the transparency because we don't often hear this. Like most guys don't talk about other teams once they're on a roster. Does that make you feel any better, worse, anything? Like, it almost makes me feel a little bit better. Like, he was more wanted by other teams. Florida State did a good job with him. Like, Auburn's in kind of a must-win situation, too, and they ended up with Oklahoma's quarterback, who they couldn't wait to get out of Norman. I'm not saying that we win more games. I'm not saying that I'm more, you know, I think that anything, I'm not trying to make any crazy statements like that, but I do, I don't know, made me feel a little bit better that he picked Florida State over Auburn, who, I mean, Auburn certainly pays for guys. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, he definitely said the quiet part out loud, the worst kept secret in college sports, especially football and basketball, that there was clear tampering in his decision to enter the transfer portal. And, you know, that's obvious. But again, every single school does that. And I sure as hell hope we're doing it too, because if we're not, Mike's not doing his job. But yeah, the fact that, you know, he entered the portal with intentions of going to Auburn, and then Gus was able to swoop in and convince him to come to Florida State, because Auburn, you know, the SEC is SEC money. They could overpay for him if they really wanted him. But I think he just was convinced by Gus that, you know, his offense is a better fit for him. You know, Auburn, you can sell, hey, you're going to play in the SEC. You get to play in Athens and Tuscaloosa and Austin and all these places. It's always tough recruiting against the SEC. But at the same time, Florida State's always had the prestige of an SEC-type school. So that kind of balances the playing field a little bit. But, yeah, the fact that, you know, I think of a guy like Timmy Jernigan. He said his whole life, you grew up a huge Florida Gator fan, wanted to go there. And then, you know, on signing, they shocked everyone and picked Florida State. And I remember there was one reporter when I was watching an interview. He's like, you know, you've always wanted to play for Florida State. How's it feel? I was like, no, I always wanted to play for Florida. I grew up a Gator. I grew up, you know, an hour and a half from Gainesville. So, yeah, the fact that he wanted to go somewhere else does not bother me. Dalvin Cook was committed to Clemson and Florida. So it does not matter at all to me. And the fact that a school of Auburn's pedigree and being one of the mid to top tier schools in the SEC who won a national title not too long ago, played for one not too long ago, you know, that makes me feel better, honestly.
Yeah, no, I certainly would feel I just the fact that he was wanted elsewhere.
If he said he entered the portal to go to like Troy, but then ended up at Florida State, yeah, that'd be a problem.
A little bit different. Yeah. No, I think that, you know, Hugh Freeze is a situation where he needs to win, right? And if that's kind of the quarterback he was going after, you know, makes me feel a little bit better. Now, am I up in my win prediction? Am I, you know, are we all of a sudden like, no. So I'm not trying to read into that too much, but I do think that there's some positive that can be gleaned from it. All right. Lastly today, a lot of drama with the portal. And I do think that maybe college football is changing on this a little bit, not to go too far off subject. We'll kind of pull in some Florida State and some Florida State rivalry stuff here in a minute. But obviously everyone has seen the Nico Iamaliava situation, which now that he's not at Tennessee, I can kind of figure out how to finally say that name.
I thought it was Amalivia.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so On3's graphics are always great. That was their best graphic of all time. Like, that was, it does not get any better than that. Obviously, everybody knows the situation, so we don't need to rehash that. Do you have quick thoughts on the Nico situation?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, I don't blame him. I mean, I think this is the new era of college football, and it gets really messy when you start getting families, and a lot of these kids have agents now. It's like the NFL. Every NFL minicamp, and you hear about players holding out because they're not happy with their contract, and they hold out for as long as they can to try and get a new deal. And more often than not, they do not get a new deal, and they come back. But with the spring transfer window opening right now, I think he decided, you know, and the frustrating part for me is that a lot of these kids are still young. He's got to be, what, 19 years old? And, you know, so he's probably has his parents and handlers and maybe an agent in his ear saying, no, you're worth this. You're worth this. Oh, I heard Arch Manning is getting this. You need to get what he's getting. And none of these numbers are public. And I think that's something that probably should happen. You know, in the NFL, everyone knows what everyone's making. So holdouts make sense. You know, you may disagree or agree with a player, but at the same time, this is not the college football we grew up with, DJ, and fans, we just have to get used to it. So I don't blame the player at all. It could have been a situation where he just got bad advice, like, you know, Roddy Hill last year when, he left the portal and he basically said as much as he wished he had never left Florida State. You know, these things are going to happen, and I think it's going to happen more and more often. You're going to see high-profile players, quote-unquote, holding out to try and get more money.
Yeah, I think, I don't necessarily have a problem with Nico trying to get more money. I do think that there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And I'm not necessarily saying that Nico did anything wrong, but when you've got his dad interjecting and you've got like, I was told that on Wednesday night, there was a meeting at the, I think I saw this on Ari and Andy's show. He was at like the offensive coordinator's house, like at a team dinner or whatever, or an offensive dinner. Maybe for the quarterback, or I don't know what position group or what grouping it was, but he was at a dinner. And then Thursday is when it all kind of, you know, seems to be going south. He skips practice or Friday skips practice, whatever, right? Like all this happened really quick. I think there's a right way and a wrong way to go about it. I think that I don't want to attack Nico's personally or specifically because there probably were other players and factors kind of in this, but I do think that, this idea of like trying to publicly hold your program hostage, you know, is something that Florida State fans are maybe somewhat familiar with. And I'm proud of Tennessee. I think that I expected Tennessee to fold here. And helps. I expected.
Helps when you just brought in a five-star quarterback as well.
For sure. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know that he's gonna be ready for this year, with their schedule and with their returner, like they were lining up for another potential playoff run. They have a schedule that's fairly manageable. And in all reality, if they go 2-1 or 1-2 against Georgia, Bama, and Florida again, which are the three better teams that they play in the SEC, I mean, they're going to make the playoff. They could potentially make the playoff at 10-2 again. So it's just, you know, if you're Tennessee, like, does it make sense to pay up? Now, from a precedent standpoint, not at all. But does it make sense to? I thought they would buckle, and so I'm proud of Josh Heupel and Tennessee for not doing that. Florida State was pretty publicly. I mean, we can transition this to some FSU. So all that said, I don't blame Nico, but I do think that Tennessee did the right thing by saying like, "Nah, dog, we ain't setting this precedent where we just get bent over." Again, he's got a lot of potential, but he wasn't really. I mean, did he deserve more than $2 million a year?
You sent a message to the other 90 guys on the roster that listen, right. we're not playing these games. We're not putting up with it. I think, you know, one of the biggest frustrations I had, even though, you know, he was solid last year, But when Lundy transferred to Colorado and you brought him right back, I know there was a need at the linebacker position, but I just think that sent a bad message to the rest of Florida State's roster.
I do too. Yeah, you ended up striking out so much at linebacker, and you had to turn, but you had to circle back on him. You paid him way more than, you know, Lundy, from what I remember and was told, hopefully I'm not quoting this terribly wrong, you ended up paying him more to get him back from Colorado than he originally asked for to stay at Florida State. Like when he jumped in the portal in December, he asked for X, and went to get him back from Colorado, you paid him X plus, and then didn't get great play out of him and went 2-10 anyway. So, you know, was it worth it? Clearly not. Obviously at that time, Florida State didn't know they were going to, you know, embark on the worst season, you know, through most of our lives. But, you know, you had others, whether it be Farmer or Peyton or just whomever, who literally jumped in the portal, threatened, jumped in the portal. There were times that some of those guys were doing that behind closed doors that you never even saw. Going back to, I mean, I'm talking spring of 23, you know, at the spring game. We had guys that we were thinking were I spoke with people while at that spring game that we were thinking might jump in the portal, might leave. And yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, I think Florida State has very much changed the way that they view this and the way that they do this. And I don't think they're going to play those games any longer. I don't think that that's a, I think Mike has very much changed his stance on this, and good for him. I don't think there's anyone, you know, when you think about it, like, first of all, I don't know there's anybody on this roster that I'm like, if is there anybody on this roster, Richie, that if they jumped the portal, you would just be devastated over? I mean, I just don't think there is, right? There'd be guys you wouldn't like it, but there's nobody right now that I'd just be like, oh my God, I'm going to kill, you know, like maybe you would have 2 years ago, like if Jordan would have jumped in or something like that.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's not like you have a Jameis Winston after winning the Heisman, every school in the country would have been tampering, trying to get him. I think he would have stayed at Florida State, but if he had hopped in the portal, yeah, that would have been devastating. There's nobody on this roster. You know, Jackson, obviously I really like his potential, but he did not play great last year.
Right.
If he were to leave, you know, it's a hit to the depth on the defensive line, but at the same time, what are you really losing? And, you know, I think that's also a testament to what Mike needs to do in terms of, you know, managing his roster, because at Florida State, you should have at least five or six guys that if they opt in the portal, you're like, dang, what happened?
Yeah, no, I agree. And so I think Mike has changed his stance on that. I mean, shoot, I even heard, listen, as much crap as we give them, as much as we want them to be terrible, even Mario kind of learned his lesson. You remember what, it's funny, I watched a lot of Miami fans like have, like chime in on this whole Nico situation. Like, oh, wow, you know, like we would never, they literally had this happen with Van Dyke 2 years ago, coming off the 22 season when he held them hostage and threatened to go to Bama and had to re-release a statement. I'm here. And they paid him more money through the collective and everything else. But I think Mario's learned that lesson. And I think it's good for college football. Mario came out after their spring game yesterday and basically was like, look, if somebody wants to do that, like they can go find some other place down the road. And I like this shift for college football. I like how coaches and people at programs are saying like, nah, we ain't going to do this. We ain't going to play this game where you come back to us four times a year to try and renegotiate your deal or try and hold us hostage for more money. And look, I don't like Mario. I don't like Miami, but I mean, good. I hope all of college football does this because it's just an asinine place that we live in. Now, somebody's going to pick up Nico and somebody's going to have him. Maybe it's USC. Maybe it's Ohio State. Maybe it's Oregon. I don't know. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody who is kind of a quarterback away is going to do this. And that's fine. But Nico's leverage is gone, right? I mean, it would not surprise me at all if Nico made less this year, because what's he going to, I mean, right now he needs a home, right? And maybe there's a bidding war and maybe he makes more. I don't know. But I do think that there's a situation now where he's no longer on Tennessee's roster. They've moved on. And so he needs a home, right? And every day that we get closer to August is a day we get closer to, you know, him not having a home. Now he's going to land somewhere. And so I would like if coaches kind of got together, and you're always going to have some coaches that are more desperate or some programs that are more desperate, and they're going to take a flyer on a guy because they just, their back's up against the wall. But I would like to get into a situation where coaches kind of band together almost somewhat. And they're like, no, we're not going to play these games. If you want to jump in the portal's there for you to jump in. Nico could have very easily gone about this the right way, not you know, made this kind of big public dispute, not had his dad's going on social media, calling people out and cussing them out for reporting on the truth. He could have entered the portal in December. He could have made his intentions known pre-spring and not done this the day before their spring game. I mean, yeah, there are people, Richie, obviously, that are not as locked into this stuff and searching it every second of the day like we are. There were people that showed up to Tennessee's spring game unaware that he wasn't on the team anymore, right? Like, and not everyone, right? Most people knew. That's insane. That's an insane part of college football that we're into right now, and not the craziest part of college football by any means, but that's stupid. Like, that should not be the case. There should be no situation where you go to a spring game and your starting quarterback, the most recognizable player on your team, one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC, one of the quarterbacks with the most potential in the SEC, a five-star, you didn't know that he wasn't on your roster the day before. If Nico wanted to go in the portal, that'd be totally fine. Go in December, do things the right way. Don't hold your team hostage. And I'm glad that other coaches are stepping up and basically saying, like, they're not calling Nico out, but even Mario stepping up and saying, like, nah, we ain't playing that game here. You want to come to Miami? Great. Come to Miami, play football. We're going to try and win games. We might not call our timeouts. We might do things stupid, whatever. We might overpay them. Which Mario did just overpay a quarterback, in my opinion. But this whole game of like holding us hostage, like, you ain't doing that here. And again, I don't really care what other programs do. I certainly am glad that I feel like that's kind of the way that Norvell is wired now. Like, we ain't playing those games anymore. He's made statements about it. But for the sake of college football in general, yeah, would I love all of Florida's players, all of Miami's players to hold them hostage and screw them over? Sure. But just for the love of college football, I hope that this starts to curb that. I hope that we start to get away from that happening in college football, because it is absolutely asinine to me. And again, I mean, my ultimate goal, I don't really care about Nico pro or con, like, whatever. He can have a great year, he can have a bad year. It doesn't really impact me too much. I hope he makes less. I hope he makes less at whatever school he's going to than he would have made at Tennessee, and it becomes public and it curbs this from happening too much in the future, because this is stupid.
Yeah. And there's so much going on here, right? So much to unpack, because you got to think he's probably asking around, because a lot of these, you know, college quarterbacks, they've went to the Elite 11 together, right? And a lot of these kids, quite frankly, they would lie about how much money they're making in NIL. And you hear a number and you're like, oh crap, I'm not making anywhere near that. I'm worth more. And maybe the guy told you he's making $4 million when he's making 1.5. You know, yeah. I'm sure. To your point, I hope that these college coaches as a whole collectively adopt the NFL NBA mentality. You know, when a player in the NBA demands a trade, you hear that more in the NBA than any sport. They're like, no, we're not trading. Like, we're just not doing it. Like occasionally they'll do it if they can get the right pieces, but they just say no. Like, they ignore it because what are you going to have players demanding trades every 6 weeks? Same thing when it comes to holdouts. Again, very rarely does a holdout end with a player getting a new contract. They simply come back because you're under contract. There is nothing else to do. You know, if I were a head coach, my policy would be, listen, if you want to enter the portal, best of luck to you. But once you officially are in the portal, don't call me to come back here. You've made your decision. You've left this team because you think you either deserve more playing time than you're getting, or you deserve more money than you're getting. So I don't want that type of athlete on my team. You know, and I know that's hypocritical to say because we take a lot of transfers, but most of the transfers we take are typically from smaller schools. It's, you know, like a coach taking a job promotion. You know, we have a lot of kids at a lot of schools, not just Florida State, where they think, and again, I think the biggest problem, just going back to circle this thing around, is parents, agents, and handlers. You know, they're in these kids' ears, and a lot of these parents, they just see dollar signs, and that, you know, I'm sure they want what's best for their kid, but they figure, if I can make a buck off it too, why not?
Sometimes you mess around and find out, right? We'll keep it G-rated since it's the Lord's Day, but sometimes you mess around and find out. Sometimes you, yeah, and there's nothing wrong. Again, there's nothing wrong with jumping in the portal. Like, no. If that is every kid's priority, like, I've got no problem with that. There's no problem for jumping in the portal just for more money. Like, I've got no issues with that at all. A lot of guys do that all over the country. Like, do you think that, and I don't even think he made like an insane amount of money here, but like, do you think Jared Verse could have made the NIL money or the future NFL money if he'd have stayed at Albany? No, of course not, right? I got no problem with a kid jumping in the portal for any reason. I don't care if a kid goes to a smaller school that can just afford to pay him more. If Brock, for whatever reason, said, you know what, I could make twice as much at USF because I could be their starter. Go do it. I have no problem. I don't care about that at all. Do what's best for you. If somebody offered me five times what I was making to cover Akron, I would do it. You know, I'd still cheer for Florida State, but I would do it. I'd do an Akron podcast. I got no problems with that. The problem is the way you handle it, the way you do things, the way you go about things the right way. And hopefully with this situation, we will get more of that in college football. So, all right, as we wrap up, Richie, any shout outs today? Let's get out of here and watch the Masters.
Yeah, I want to, first of all, my wife is going for Rory. I'm going for Bryson. I want to shout out the course. I hope the course is just hell today for these players and just makes for a dramatic finish like we saw when Tiger last won it a couple of years ago. So I'm shouting out the course at Augusta National.
That's a wild shout out. But baseball team up 2-1. Hopefully they can kind of finish up and get a sweep here. Would be huge to get a sweep against a ranked team on the road in conference after they lost their last three games, 2 to Wake and 1 to UF. And then softball. I think if they continue to win, they're in really good shape to be a national seed, a top 8 seed, and try and lock in a spot in Oklahoma City. Mostly want that one so I can go back. Although I obviously love the men to go to Omaha too. Getting a lot of trouble for taking back-to-back trips up in the end of May and middle of June. But a couple of really big ACC series. Hopefully they can finish it off there. And then, Palm Sunday, I don't know what our plans are for next week, but if you're celebrating, I saw Passovers this week too. If you're celebrating Passover, Easter, any of those things, we're thinking about you and hope you have a great week. And then last thing, really, really bad news, but Kyren Lacy, that is absolutely brutal. Saw that he passed. It's, you know, suspected that he took his own life. Just, you know, if you're going through things, if you're struggling with things, like there are people that care about you. There are people, whether you made mistakes, whether you've done dumb stuff, whatever, there are people that care about you. This world is a better place with you in it. And if you ever need somebody to talk to, shoot, all my DMs on all social medias are open. So, you know, look, we're here. You can commiserate with us and be miserable out of FSU football, but be miserable in real life. Let somebody out there, kind of care for you. But yeah, all that was brutal to see today. And hate that news that, dropped about him. So, I don't have too much else, Richie. Thanks to, Garnet Gold, BetUS TV, Guthrie's for their support. Sorry to end on a downer, but we are going to watch the Masters, so that'll bring our spirits back up. But, we will talk to you guys next week. I don't know what time again, 'cause it's Easter. We'll figure that out, but, we'll talk to you soon and go Noles.
Go Noles.